episode of GeoTalk, we travel to Canberra for the 10th anniversary of caching in the ACT. We get an update on the New Zealand earthquake fundraiser GeoCoin. And we find out who's the most prolific puzzle geocacher in Australia and New Zealand. All this and more on GeoTalk. Well, welcome to episode 72 of GeoTalk for April 2011. I'm your host, Darren, from the Spin Doctors, and welcome once again to the podcast. If you're a first-time listener, thanks for joining us. And don't forget, if you've been listening for a while or just joined us and you haven't made a comment, please visit the iTunes store and drop a comment in the iTunes store and let everyone know what you think of the podcast, and helps keep us up in the listings and more people discovering the podcast. Well, recently the Spin Doctors travelled up to Port Stephens in the Central Coast, or is it Mid-North Coast? I'm not too sure which region it is, but just north of Newcastle in New South Wales. And it's my first time to the region, and it is fantastic. What a beautiful location. And it is for geocaching too. It's a wonderful spot. And I'll point out one geocache in particular that I visited along with one of my geocaching friends, Damo, and that's Radar Hill, GC1AAZ6. It was a little bit of a climb. I think it was about 180 metres vertical from memory, and probably not quite more than about 500 metres along the ground. So it was a little bit of a steep climb, but it was a fantastic view. And we went up there just before sunset to watch the sun settle down on the Port Stephens area, and fantastic caching there. And anyone who's thinking of spending a weekend just out of Sydney, I certainly recommend that location. Well, next week I'm heading up to Brisbane as part of a conference that I'm going to. It's quite an exciting one, Media 140. If you're into social media, you might know of it, but you can check it out. Media 140. I'll be speaking about science and social media and the use of it. And I'm also going to take the opportunity while I'm up there to find Queensland's oldest geocache, and that's Queensland. You might have heard me talk about it earlier in the year. It's part of my geocaching goal for 2011. It's my second last cache that I need to find from the caches that were hidden in the year 2000 that still exist. And I'll be catching up with some locals while I'm up there, so hopefully we'll feature that in the next episode of the podcast. I had a brief email from Pagelboy down in Wollongong, who wanted to give a shout out for his latest geocaching video. And I mentioned earlier that I travelled up to just north of Newcastle. Well, Pagelboy, along with his friends Tom Lambert and Johnny Euless, they travelled up to Newcastle and did a bit of caching there in the Central Coast. You can check out his video. I'll give you a link in the show notes and see what it's like caching just north of Sydney. Now, if you're a regular listener of Podcacher, you'll know that the WWFM8 is coming up. And if you're not a regular listener, you should check it out. Go to their podcast at www.podcacher.com. They run a 15-minute event. They try and coordinate it with sites around the world. It goes for 15 minutes. Now, most sites try and coordinate it to happen at the same time as the one that happens in San Diego, which is where Sunny and Sandy are based. And that's 10 a.m. Pacific time. Now that equals, I think from memory, 3 a.m. here in Australia and 5 a.m. in New Zealand. So it's not the best time to do it, but a number of sites try to coordinate and do it. Others will do it on that 10 a.m. on the same date. Now the date that it's occurring is the 4th of June. Obviously in Australia, if you're going to try and time it on the same time, it will be the 5th of June. I hope I've got these around the right way. Anyway, if you want to attend one, there's only one listed in Melbourne at the moment. Anyone who wants to organise one, I think there's being organised in Wollongong. I've seen some chatter about that. If you want to head down to those, you can go to podcacher.com, click on their WWFM link and check those out. Or why not organise one for yourself, because there's certainly a lot of cities around Australia that haven't set one up. So that's the WWFM8, organised by Podcacher and caches around the world. And talking about caching around the world, it's time now to head across the ditch to New Zealand, and it's time for Alan's update. Take it away, Radio Nut 50.
Yeah, thanks, Darren. Well, winter seems to be upon us over here in New Zealand, in the Hamilton area anyhow. We've had some cooler days and rainy weather recently, which to some degree detracts a bit from long days of geocaching. As a regular contributor to this fun podcast, I'm often flooded with fan emails in my imagination. I might be exaggerating here a bit. But I must say I do appreciate the odd comment seen in logs for our caches and sometimes by email. Today, though, a confession. I did receive an email after last month's podcast with some questions on my GPS and GSAK macros, but I had a mishap with the emails and lost it. I must appear rather rude at the moment, but it wasn't intentional. So please, whoever it was, drop me a new note. I'd love to answer your questions. Earlier this month, though, we enjoyed a caching event here in Hamilton City with the Growing Up as Optional team. Justin and Barbara were here in Hamilton, over from the ACT, participating in the annual Hamilton Balloon Fiesta. We did remember seeing Justin at Wagga Wagga at the mega event last year with his balloon performances, but us being only 200 out of 500 or 600 people present meant we didn't have a chance to meet him in person. So this was a great opportunity to catch up with someone who can combine two hobbies of ballooning and geocaching so well. Butterfly Lady and I had a weekend in the far north during this month while driving back from a business trip up there. We did a few caches on our way home, of course, and a couple of the finds stayed in our minds. The first mention goes to a cache at a familiar landmark, the Whangarei Falls, in Whangarei City. This cache encourages visitors to walk through a large park at the northern part of the city and view the famous waterfall from both above and below. This one was laid by Wonderstuff and Pookie, and it has a familiar themed name of the wonderful Whangarei Falls. Although finding a mint tin micro was a little bit disappointing, the location is majestic, and another example of the excellent locations good geocaches select for their placements. There's another cache not too far away, a walk through the park commemorating a famous New Zealander to a hide called A.H. Reed. It's a great way to spend an hour or so in Whangarei. The next, needing some mention, is a cache called Ruins in the Park, in the middle of the town of Warkworth, around 70 kilometres north of Auckland City. This cache by Glyn the Only One took us to a fascinating historical spot where a set of lime kilns from the 1870s have survived in the bush, and are getting some restoration and good care, with an excellent information sign nearby. This fascinating area is only a few minutes' stroll off the main National Highway Number 1, but again is one of those spots that you'd never see if it wasn't for this hobby of geocaching we have. Although we all realise it's not about the numbers, of course, those who do follow the New Zealand National Score Ladder in the 100 Plus Club may have seen that the long-standing, regular rivalry by renowned cachers Moneydawk and ADV at the top of the New Zealand totals has both been surpassed by another cacher, the Wonderstuff. Well done, Cam, you're over 9,000 finds now, but with a margin of only about 100, we're all going to enjoy watching the next steps in this drama. So, we round out this entry with the coming events in New Zealand. Now, a quick check shows that there are no events listed whatsoever in the North Island. It must be getting too close to winter for us. But in the much more hardy south, we've got no fewer than 6 events listed at the time of preparing this. We've got Come Meet the Night Rider in Dunedin on the 21st of April. Then the famous Moneydawk's 7th massive Easter egg hunt in Springs Junction, halfway between Christchurch and Nelson, on Good Friday the 22nd of April. There's an Easter Saturday Seaito event at Cromwell on Easter Saturday the 23rd. There's Guapo's Gastronomic Gourmet Gully Gathering in North Dunedin on the 1st of May. And another entitled 10 Years Red Iguana, where Gavin, called Red Iguana, is celebrating his 10 years of geocaching, and that's in Christchurch on the 10th of May. And then now the WWFMs are showing up. WWFM 8, Show Your GPS, is listed as coming up on the 4th of June in Cromwell, on Queen's Birthday weekend, the 4th of June. So, with all of that, it's back to you, Darren.
Well, thanks for that update, Alan. And yes, I've been guilty of occasionally misplacing the odd email or two. Hopefully I haven't missed any recently. But yeah, whoever dropped the email to Alan about GSAC and GPS, please drop him another note. Hopefully we'll be catching up with each other in September as I come across to New Zealand for the Rugby World Cup in September. Looking forward to that. Well, talking about memorable cache finds, we've got a little bit of a competition courtesy of Angela, who looks after GeoWatt GeoStuff store over in Canberra. You can check out her website at devixen.com/GeoWatt. She's got a number of different geocaching supplies you can get your hands on. And we're giving away a couple of little prize packs that Angela has put together. It consists of a walkabout travel bug and an engraved bison container, one of those pesky little micro containers that you see hidden out in the bush or maybe in the urban area. All you have to do to go in the draw to win one of these, we'll randomly draw three of the entries that we receive, because we've got three of these packs to give away. Just have to call in on the GeoTalk hotline, which is 02 800 5436, and tell us your most memorable find. So the most memorable geocache that you've come across, and just give a call on 02 800 5436, and we'll gather those together, play them on air, and we'll randomly draw three of those out to win a little prize pack from GeoWatt GeoStuff. Well, it's time now for the GeoTalk trivia question, and thanks very much to Ben from, I think it's Lowside Legends, who sent in some suggestions, and we're going to give one of these a burl. The question is, who has found the most puzzle caches in Australia and New Zealand? So who's found the most puzzle or mystery caches in Australia and New Zealand? The answer to that at the end of the podcast. I'm sitting on top of a mountain or a hill in the outskirts of Canberra near Belconnen, marking the 10th anniversary of the ACT's very first geocache called Canberra Nature Reserve. And I'm sitting here with Sol de Lune, and we've just re-hidden the cache after last night going to the anniversary event and caching awards dinner in Canberra, which was attended by almost 100 people. It was such a big turnout, and it's great to see the Canberra caching community. But I'm on a lovely autumn's morning here in Canberra, and joined by Warren. Warren, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks very much.
Now, you've sort of, over the last few years, held events to mark the anniversary of this cache. What is it about it for you that is so significant?
Oh, I think the fact that it's Canberra's very first cache, and it's still here, and it's perched high on top of this hill with great views over Canberra. I feel it'd be a shame if we actually lost it. So it was just a thought to sort of have a bit of a birthday party, so to speak, for the cache itself. And we started off and had it a couple of years ago when we had about 20 people attend, and over the last couple of years it's just grown that little bit more. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great turnout last night, and as you say, the number of people keeps getting more and more. You've been caching now for a number of years in Canberra. What have you seen as far as changes and improvements and so forth in the caching community and in caching as a whole?
The fact that we have more people caching gives us more hides, but it also gives us hides in areas that some of us have not seen before. Just thinking quickly, Narrabundah, there was a cache that appeared up there, and I never knew that little hill was in the middle of Narrabundah. So another area of Canberra that I found just by caching. And also the fact that more people are heading out towards the Madgee, and we're getting some really good hides out there as well.
Yeah, it's a really good mix of caching types. I remember when I started a number of years ago, people coming from interstate used to complain that every cache was on the top of a damn hill, but now that's not the case, is it?
No, that's right. But when you have a look at some of the logs, you find that some of the interstate people have gone, oh, Canberra, another cache, another hill. But no, that is certainly changing, and we're getting them in places that are a lot more accessible, certainly.
So obviously we're putting back this cache and making sure that it survives for hopefully another 10 years. Any other significant caches in Canberra that you feel if people were coming to visit they should have a go at?
There's a few caches in Canberra. The Pinnacle Hill just behind us here in Weetangra in Belconnen, there's a couple of caches out there that also give great views. But probably if caches were coming from interstate and they weren't here for a long time to go caching, possibly Red Hill. There's 5 or 6 or 7 on there these days, and you could walk from the restaurant area along the fire trails over to the next little hill and pick up 3 or 4 just in that area. Again, great views and, yeah, a good little way to spend a couple of hours.
And I suppose you don't even have to come to Canberra to be challenged by some of them. You've got many puzzle caches that I know a lot of people interstate try to solve, and even if they don't get here, there's a bit of satisfaction in doing that.
It's always satisfying when you solve a puzzle, and I think we're quite lucky, or unlucky in Canberra, depending which way you look at it. We have some guys who put puzzles out that can be very tricky. Yeah, I've been here a few years now and have been lucky enough to solve some, but there's still some I look at and go, oh, that's nice, and I just leave it for another day.
And finally, for people who don't know Canberra all that well, what's the best time of the year, you reckon, to go caching?
Oh, autumn's the best time to be in Canberra, absolutely. Summer, yeah, it can get very hot. Winter, of course, Canberra, very cold. But autumn, a day like this, mid-20s, 22, 23 degrees, no wind to speak of, no, fantastic. So this time of year is the best time to be here for sure. Mm.
No, I totally agree. I mean, I've, as most listeners know, I spent most of my early caching years here, and I have to agree, this time of the year and possibly spring as well, so around September, October is quite nice, and you can always drop the other half over at Floreout during that time of the year as well while you go out caching. But look, it's a fantastic day. If you're ever in the ACT, make sure you hit some of those caches, in particular this one at Canberra Nature Reserve. We'll give you a link in the show notes. Warren, thanks very much for joining us on the podcast, and all the best in your caching adventures.
Many thanks. Great. Thank you.
Well, let's look at some of the events that are occurring around Australia over the next couple of weeks. On the 29th of April is the Friendly Floaties at Night being held by Degrees down in Melbourne. Now, it looks like it's happening on the Yarra River, and I think you've got to bring your floaties for this event. On the 30th of April, there's the Lane Cove National Park cleanup. That's a CETO that's happening on the International CETO Day over in Lane Cove in Sydney. On the 2nd of May, the Old and New Locals Get-Together being organised in Bundaberg up in Queensland. On the 5th of May, a pub dinner. May 5 is the 125th Day of the Year, is the name of that event. That's being held in Adelaide. On the 7th of May is Fagan Frolic. That's occurring up in northern part of Sydney, here in New South Wales. And on the 14th of May, another event in New South Wales, it's the annual Autumn Caching in the Blueies event that's being held up at Wentworth Falls. If you've got an event that you want to give a bit of a plug, drop us an email at geotalkpodcast@gmail.com or call it in on the Geotalk hotline on 02 850 436. I'm joined now on the podcast by Kevin Swain, who's part of Kev's team, but he's also owner of geocaches.co.nz. Thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Yeah, hi.
Now, Kevin, you've organised, along with Carl over here in Australia, the Christchurch Earthquake Geocoin, which we mentioned a few episodes ago. You've done a fantastic job and raised an incredible amount. First of all, tell us, how much did the Geocoin raise?
Yeah, we've raised $1,670 to the Christchurch Red Cross Appeal.
That's a fantastic effort. Tell us briefly the response you got from the geocaching community.
Well, it's absolutely amazing. Initially, I thought I'd sell 50 to New Zealand. I put it up on the shop and with a 50 stock limit and sent an email out to my client base. Within about half an hour, we sold that 50, mm-hmm. and it just kept on going. In the end, we sold 280. In fact, we just got another shipment in, so we're going to be selling a total of well over 300.
Mm-hmm. And can people who haven't been able to purchase one for this fundraiser still get on board?
Yep, we've got about 20 left.
Okay. All right, tell us then, I mean, obviously everyone knows who saw the TV footage of the terrible quake that occurred in Christchurch, and even just in the news this week we've heard of more aftershocks. But tell us how you and Carl came up with the idea for the Geocoin.
Yeah, Carl was having a New Zealand flag designed by the company there, and he gave me a quick call and suggested that we put Christchurch in the date on the coin and sell it as a charity. And that was about 5 minutes after the quake, about half an hour after the quake happened. Mm-hmm. So we moved it. Within an hour of that, we had it up on the website and emails flying out all over the place.
So Kevin, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into geocaching.
Well, I bought an iPhone and downloaded the geocaching app because I was a bit bored one day. And stuck the iPhone out the window, and hey, there's a geocache 200 metres from my door. So we all, I walked upstairs, and my father-in-law's name Kevin, hence Kev's name, along with Catherine, my wife. And it works out that Kevin has been doing geocaching years before with another guy. So we rushed off to this tree and spent a good hour, maybe 2 hours, looking at this tree, trying to find a box, and found a film canister with a bit of bark over it. And pretty much we're hooked from there on. Mm-hmm.
And a little birdie's told me that you were recently geocaching here in Australia.
Yep. We did Surfers Paradise this time. Previous to that, we'd done Noosa. It's quite interesting. We have to keep reminding ourselves about your redback spiders and so forth.
Yeah, there's a lot of creepy and crawlies hiding away for all these overseas caches to find. Now, tell quick plug for the store. Tell us about the store and obviously, you know, how people can find it online.
Yeah, sure. The web address is geocachers.co.nz. And we've got about 300 items all in stock, and we can ship worldwide.
Excellent. Well, listen, on behalf of the caching community, well done to both yourself and Carl for raising that money. Fantastic stuff. And if people still want to get on board and get one of those geocoins, I've got one sitting in front of me on the desk right now. Go to that website, geocachers.co.nz, or also to geostuff.com.au. Thanks for joining us on the podcast, Kevin.
Thanks a lot. Cheers.
Doc and everyone back home. This is Al Garayath, currently on the Emerald Isle. More specifically, I'm in Dublin. Just returned from a month or two in Great Britain. About 2 months ago now, I'd made a call which got lost to the internet gremlin somewhere, and I was reporting my 1800 find, and that was on GC43, which you might pick by the number is rather an old cache. It's appropriately named Europe's First, and was hidden back in June of 2000. So that was the 1800th milestone. Now skip forward a couple of months, and I've returned to Ireland to get my 2000th GC cache. It wasn't quite as special, I suppose, only hidden last year, but it was a 5-star difficulty puzzle and filled in another one of my 81 grid, which was quite nice. And clocked up that milestone today, 2,300 total caches, 2,000 GC caches. Been absolutely great fun over here. The weather's been fantastic for a lovely change. Not quite done yet. I think there's a few hundred more left before I come home at the end of the year. Hopefully the Sydney scene is catching up and filling back with some caches so I can do a couple more when I get in. Nice to hear from everyone on the episodes every month. Talk to you soon. Zagarayath out. Bye.
Yeah, hi, Darren, and all the listeners out there in geocaching world. This is Calypso 62. Just reporting in on a mini milestone of mine. I've just completed my 500th cache at Mermaid's Cave, GC14188, up here in Blackheath. Absolutely fabulous location. It was a recommendation from a good friend of mine, PJM, and he suggested I come and do this one for my 500th, and it certainly didn't disappoint, and no wonder it's got so many favourite points. And I know you've done it, Darren, so you know where I'm talking about. So, yeah, fabulous caching experience, and one I can recommend to everybody out there. Okay, mate, thanks for that. We'll be listening in for the next Geo Talk. Thanks very much. Take care. Bye.
Well, that's all for this episode of Geo Talk, so we'll go straight to the answer for the Geo Talk trivia question. And that question is, who has found the most puzzle/mystery caches in Australia and New Zealand? And the answer to that one, well, the winner is over in the North Island of New Zealand. It's UGO4 with 1,035. Coming in second is Feathertop from Victoria with 994, Everlasting from WA with 865, Team Rubik from Victoria with 854, and then there's a bit of a gap down at Allen C from Victoria with 690 caches, puzzle/mystery caches that they've found. Well, that's all for this episode of GeoTalk. As I mentioned, next episode, hopefully we'll bring back some audio from Queensland as yours truly goes hunting Queensland's oldest cache. Until next time, safe geocaching.